Folks, if you'll turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. We're going to read verse 9 through 12. And listen, folks. It's one thing to be baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. That just opens the door. Okay? You've got to live this every day. And if you want to be used of God, if you want to do more than just exist in the kingdom of God, you have to find yourself involved in the things of God and the things that God asks of us. Amen? So I want to speak to you today. We're going to start off in Romans 14, verse 9 through 12. It says, "For to this end," let's stand for the reading of the word, I'm sorry. "For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For as it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give," listen to this, "shall give account of himself to God." We love you today, God. We're so thankful, Lord, that we're able to be here to hear your word. We ask, God, that you help us apply it to our life. God, anoint your servant to speak your word. We give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I want to speak to you, folks, accountability, what it really is. Accountability, what it really is. We have to be accountable to God, just like this verse said. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. We have to be accountable to God. Every individual is responsible for his or her own behavior. The Bible is very clear when it comes to personal accountability. That's why that scripture in Romans 14:12 says, "So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." The feeble excuse of men, the feeble excuses of men will not suffice, folks, when we are called to account before God. Okay? You can have all the excuses, and the devil will give you any excuse you want. If he thinks he can, you'll use it and not do something for God or not be what you need to be for God, he'll give you everything. But I'm telling you, your feeble excuses are not going to be sufficient when you are called to stand before God. The Bible is filled with stories of men and women who tried to pass the buck. Come on. You know, Adam, he tried to blame Eve when he ate that forbidden fruit. Eve tried to blame the serpent. And so in trying to blame the serpent, Eve became the first to use the now infamous excuse of "the devil made me do it." Right? Bible leaders like Aaron, biblical leaders, I'm sorry, like Aaron and Saul, they ascribe blame for their sins to the people. You see, when Aaron was, they had him build the calf, and Moses came down from the mountain. He said, "The people wanted me to do it." Saul, when he went and was told to kill all the Amalekites, and he kept back the best of the herds and the king and all these things. The people, when the prophet came and said, "Why? We told you to kill everything." The people wanted me to. They wanted this. They were trying to blame them. So as creative as some of these excuses may seem, not one was acceptable. Not one excuse was acceptable. Adam and Eve were both punished. Why? For their disobedience to God. Folks, when David sinned with Bathsheba, he paid a price. See, no excuse saved him from God's judgment. And the Bible talks about he was a man after God's own heart. No excuse saved him from God's judgment. Ananias and Sapphira, could not shift the burden of guilt. When they lied to the Holy Spirit, God struck them dead there in the church. Could you imagine calling 911 today? A couple people laying here. What happened? They came up here and lied, and God struck them dead. Think about it. Could you explain it in this day and age? I hope I don't ever have to. Thank you, God. See, but the list could go on and on. Whenever men and women transgress God's laws, there is always a penalty attached. Always. So there is more to this equation than judgment alone. God doesn't want sinful men to confess their sins so that he can rub their noses in it like a divine critic. God doesn't want that, folks. But he cannot, hear me, he cannot grant forgiveness, folks, until a man or a woman confess their guilt. So in other words, a person cannot be found until he or she admits they are lost. You know? I found you, Tawny. Were you lost? She was. She used to be, but she got saved. But she's not lost right now. You didn't play along with me there. You see what I'm saying? Unless you're lost and calling for help, can't help you and try to find you unless you can say, I'm lost. Right? You have to admit you have a situation before you can be helped in that situation. You see how important it is for humankind to bear the responsibility for their own sins. You can't help somebody that's an alcoholic unless they can at first admit they're an alcoholic. That's what AA does. So we have to understand, folks, we have to take responsibility, accountability for our own sin if we want God's forgiveness in our life. So if you want God to help you, if you want God to meet you where you are, you first must admit to God what you are. God's sense of justice prevents him from providing his mercy to unrepentance. Think about that. People say, how can a God do this? Well, if you don't realize that you're wrong, if you don't realize that you're sinful, if you don't realize these things, then how can God send his mercy to help you? Now listen to me. God's word says this: all have sinned. Amen? All have sinned. Now, if you don't accept that, then you're sinning because you're lying. Come on. Every man and woman of Adam's race stands guilty before God. But, folks, if we confess our sins, he promises to be faithful in forgiving us. He promises. Now, can you take responsibility for your behavior? It's hard for people, especially when they know they messed up. It's hard for them to say, I really messed up. I sinned. Can you admit you have sinned? When you can be accountable, God is ready to offer his mercy and forgiveness. When you can do it. See, accountability, we hear it all the time. You know, it's kind of a management buzzword. But what does it mean? What does accountability mean? The word accountable means liable to being called to account. Answerable. So we talk a lot about being responsible. You know the old saying, the buck stops here? Okay? But I'm afraid, folks, that sometimes we confuse being apologetic with being accountable. Come on, think about that. I think we confuse being apologetic for being accountable, and it doesn't work that way. Okay? My boys, when they would say, do something, and they would say, I'm sorry. Sorry means I won't do it again. Don't say you're sorry and then go back out and do something again. Come on. You see, parents, we got to understand, if you teach your children that when they do something wrong, if they break somebody's stuff or whatever, they got to pay for it. Well, my boys broke the neighbor's window. I've had several neighbor's windows broke. I said, go talk to them and tell them you'll pay for it. And Dad didn't give them the money. They worked for it. Come on. They worked for it. Because I want them to realize, you mess up, you're going to pay. So if you have a child that does something wrong to somebody, you need to make them apologize. Somebody told my wife one time, you can't make them apologize. They're not really sorry. Then you have to teach them to be sorry. Come on. You have to teach them to be accountable. So as long as I'm sorry, people, when they confuse being apologetic with being accountable, they think as long as I'm sorry, we think we're accountable. Not always. You're not accountable. Hear this. You're not accountable until it costs you something to pay for what you have done. I'm going to say that again. You're not accountable until it costs you something to pay for what you have done. You ever see the store sign that says, you break it, you bought it? When you see those signs, how much tenderly do you walk around in that store? Huh? It's like, you touch that, break it, I'll break your fingers. You walk around very gingerly. So what we read in verse 12 says, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Think about that. Think about it. When you think about it in the sense of you broke it, you bought it. You messed up, you paid for it. Wow. God says, you shall give an account. Why don't we give our account here before we stand there? Huh? It's pretty humbling when you think about it. The Bible is true. Anybody here don't believe the Bible? Whew. See, I messed you up there. You thought I was going to say, believe the Bible. You raise your hand. Got you, didn't I? Huh? Folks, we got some explaining to do. If you believe the Bible is true, then you got some explaining to do to God. See, that's why it's important to know the Word of God. Because, listen, you're going to give an account. What's the law say today? There's no excuse for ignorance of the law. Well, officer, I didn't know it was 35 here. Ain't my problem. Huh? You better know. You better know. And that's what God expects. We better know what He wants of us. We better know what He likes and what He doesn't like. We better know what it takes to make heaven our home. You have an account to give. Account means it's a narrative of record of events, a reason given for a particular action. Someone that understands accountability understands responsibility. And you know what that requires? If you understand accountability, then you understand responsibility. That means it requires maturity. Huh? Man by the name of Hyman Rickover said this. This is really good. It says, responsibility is a unique concept. You may share it with others, but your portion is not diminished. You may negate it, but it is still with you. If responsibility is rightfully yours, no evasion or ignorance or passing the blame can shift the burden to someone else. Okay? So I'll say it again. If your responsibility is rightfully yours, No evasion or ignorance or passing the blame can shift the burden to someone else unless you can point your finger at the man who is responsible when something goes wrong. Then you have never had anyone really responsible. Point your finger at yourself. If it's your, if you did it, own it. Sometimes we think that just saying sorry makes us accountable. No, you know what makes you accountable? Restitution. Restitution makes you accountable. You see why people can go out here and do so much wrong is because they don't have any accountability. See, Jesus had just stopped under the tree where Zacchaeus was, and he invited himself over to Zacchaeus' house. I like that. I need to do some more of that. So if I come to you today and invite myself over, Jesus did it. Okay? I haven't been to some of your homes. I'll get off of that. Got real quiet real quick. Oh, no, Pastor, don't do it to me. But listen to what he did when Zacchaeus, in Luke 19, 7 through 10, he says, and when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. Now, Zacchaeus was not liked because he was not good to people. He took things that wasn't his. He said, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And listen to this. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. You see, when Zacchaeus became accountable, when Zacchaeus said, I'm going to pay restitution, then Jesus said, salvation has come to this house. He didn't offer it before. He offered salvation to the house when Zacchaeus said, I've done wrong and I'm going to make it right. You want to know why salvation couldn't come to his house, could come to his house that day? He understood accountability. Hear me. He understood accountability. See, some folks are constantly willing to let someone else pay for them. Right? We kind of avoid those people. Ephesians 4, 26 to 28 says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. But rather let him labor, working with his hands, the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. So, what's this scripture saying here? Those folks that are constantly willing to let other people pay. The scripture's talking about, hey, quit taking and start working so you can give. That is accountability. Stop stealing and reverse your actions. Change. Fix the problem. When you want to fix it bad enough, hear me. When you want to change, when you want to fix things bad enough, you'll do it. You will do it. Until our sins cost us, we will not stop. You see why it has to cost you something? If you think you can just skate through life and get away with things. So many people today think that. They think they are owed. Come on. We're seeing it going on all over. People think they are owed. But when it costs you something, that's when you'll change. God will help us, folks. Hear me. God will help us. But he will not do for us what is in our own power to do. Amen? 2 Thessalonians 3, 6 through 15 says, Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourself from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the traditions which he received of us. For you yourselves know how ye ought to follow us. For we behave not ourselves disorderly among you, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that he might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Well, that's some castor oil medicine, isn't it? That's hard to swallow, isn't it? For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if ye any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. What's he talking about there? Don't let the lazy people wear you out. And if any man obey not our word by his epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Don't let saints put you on constant guilt trip. Amen? Hear me. We are to do good unto others. Amen? We're to do good unto, and we're to bless one another. But we are not to underwrite anyone's laziness. You know, I've had phone calls. Yo, you all help people with their rent? You wouldn't believe some of the things I've heard. Because that guy is stupid. Can I just put it simple? Stupid. And that's what you call pre-existing condition. You see how some people get so belligerent if you say no. Oh, I've had them. Yeah, man, they talk up a Christian talk till you tell them no. And then, you call yourself a Christian? Cuss me out. What kind of Christian are you anyways? A biblical one. Folks, I have seen people, saints, call themselves saints of God, quit coming to church and backslide. You know why? Over what they perceive to be a lack of church action toward their problem. Let me tell you something about the church. You know why? You know why they do this? Because they never understood the purpose of God's house. Now see, the world thinks that you're a Christian. You're supposed to do this and you're supposed to do that. How do you know? Are you a Christian? If you know the Bible so well, why are you living like you're living? Come on. So let me talk to you about what the church, what the purpose of God's house is. God said this, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Worshiping is giving. We give here. Worshiping is giving. It's not receiving. Jeremiah 3, 14 through 15 says, Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. Now listen to this. And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Folks, that's the main course of the house of God. I need to park here. I haven't heard an amen yet. I said, that's the main course. Let me hear an amen. There we go. All right. Had to pull it out of you. We can't fix every situation in your life. I said, we can't fix every situation in your life. But we can teach you the word that will lift you out of your pit. Remember what I said? God won't do for you what you can do for yourself. You got to want it. Accountability. It's got to cost you something. Folks, this is the reason that ministry is something that you must be called into rather than pursue. It's because, folks, the authority required to do it can only come from God. In Ezekiel 33:1-11 says, again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast, and set him there watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people. Then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own hand. Hear what that's saying? Let me stop right there. God gave him a watchman. And he's up there looking for things. And if he warns the people, he's doing his job, right? What happens if they don't listen? What happens? See, the thing is here, the watchman gives the warning. Look, better be careful. But there's a responsibility on the other end. Then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet. So you can sit here, you can come here, sit here in the pews, and you can hear it. And taketh not warning. In other words, I hear it. I don't like what I'm hearing. I'm not going to listen. If the sword come, if the problem comes, folks, okay, and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head, not the pastor, not the watchman. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him, but he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, here's when it's the pastor's problem, and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take away any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity. But his blood will I require of the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt not hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand. That's talking to the pastor. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, and he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Therefore, O thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel. Thus ye speak, saying, if a transgression and or a sin be upon us, and we pine away in them, how should we then live? Say unto him, as I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for thy will, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? See, this is a serious accountability. God says the minister is accountable to what he warns. I don't try to take it lightly. I don't want to stand before God and say, why didn't you tell him? You may get aggravated at me. You may get frustrated at me. That's your problem. You have an obligation, just like I do. Amen? God says the minister is accountable to what he warns. Accountable meaning he will pay with his life if he doesn't do it right. That is what accountability means. So unless you're paying the bill, you're not responsible. Folks, do you understand the implications of false ministry here? Think about it. Do you understand the implications of false ministry? We have people that choose a church because it's a good nursery or it's a good music program. Come on. What about the truth? What about accountability? Come on. Galatians 1, 6 through 12 says, I marvel that ye so are soon removed from that him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. You hear what the scripture's saying. There's some of you, they may call, just because somebody calls themselves a pastor or a reverend, folks, the Bible says here that they pervert the gospel of Christ. You better know what you're being fed. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Those are strong words. As we said before, say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than we have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men, O God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I, listen to this, but I certify you. Let's think of that. Brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. No other gospel can save you. I don't care how good it sounds. I said, I don't care how good it sounds. Listen to the Lord's lament in Jeremiah 10:19-21. Woe is me, for my hurt, my wound is grievous. But I said truly, this is a grief, and I must bear it. My tabernacle is spoiled, and all my cords are broken. My children are gone forth of me, and they are not. There is none to stretch forth my tent anymore, and to set up my curtains. For the pastors are become brutish, and have not sought the Lord. Therefore they shall not prosper, and all their flocks shall be scattered. God says, my house is a mess, and I blame the pastors. Jeremiah 23:1-4, woe unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people, ye have scattered my flocks and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord, and I will gather the remnant of my flock out of the countries whither I have driven them, and I will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase, and I will set up shepherds over them that will feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. Do you understand why, folks, I get a little intense sometimes? I have to be accountable. I have to be accountable. All of the decisions you make in your life, none is more important than where you place yourself spiritually, the church you choose. Make no mistake about it. When you choose a church, you must become accountable. That's why I say people can call me pastor, but am I really your pastor? Hebrews 13:15-18. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. What's he pleased with? Praise God continually. The fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. but do good and communicate. Some of you never want to talk to me. I have to chase you to get you out, go out the door. Come on. Shouldn't you have a good relationship with somebody that's responsible for you? Communicate. Forget not, it says. For with such sacrifice, God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. Should I give it with joy or grief? Because you know why it says, for that is unprofitable for you. If I have to give an account to God, that's grieving. You know what that's like? Your parents ever leave you with a babysitter and say, you better be good. Because if you're not, when I come home. Anybody ever heard that? Huh? And if they were that kind of a parent that meant what they said, you better listen. That's what God's saying. Look, I got a watchman over you, and I better get a good report. That's what he's saying here. I better give a good report. Don't give him a hard time, you know. It's like when that substitute teacher used to come in. Oh, dear Jesus. Who would ever want to be a substitute teacher in this day and age? They're out of their minds. Pray for us, for we trust we have good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. Like Israel of old, folks, they put a watchman on the wall to discover the enemy's attack. Here, you sit up here and you watch, and we're going to listen to what you say. If you yell, there's danger. Wouldn't it be foolish of them to say, shut up. I don't believe that. Think about it. Think about it in light of how people treat pastors today. He's always getting on me about this. He's always getting on me about that. Duh. It's kind of like a sonar in a submarine, right? How's my driving? God says to the minister, I have made you a watchman. I have made you. We need to cry out like them in the book of Isaiah 21:11 says, the burden of Duma, he calleth to me out of Seir. Watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? You know what he's saying there? I got to make heaven my home. Am I doing okay? Is everything all right? Pastor, help me. Because I know you want to. It's your job to help me get to heaven, Pastor. Pastor, what do you see in the dark that I may not be seeing? That's what he's saying. Folks, all throughout the Word of God, there's accountability. God made Cain accountable for his brother. Nathan told David, thou art the man. Even Jesus' parables, the unjust steward, had to give an account. In Revelation, the devil was made accountable for his deeds. Matthew 16:26-27, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. You will pay for what you've done. We are accountable, folks. Pastors are accountable for their churches. Men are responsible to God for their homes. Mom and Dad, you are responsible to enforce the Word of God to your children and your household. But I can't help what they do. Why not? If you say that, who's running the asylum? You're accountable. You are accountable. Guard what they watch. Guard what they listen to. Guard where they go. Guard who they're with. It's your responsibility. Who's the boss? Who's going to give an account? Come on. Who's going to give an account? Folks, you work yourself out of a job as a parent. You start when they're little. I've smacked them when they're not too long out of the womb. I've smacked their bottom when they stiffen up on me. Wouldn't let me change their diaper. Whack! And they just lay right out and say, change it, Daddy. Work myself out of a job. You demand respect at a young age, and you'll get it later. But let them disrespect you now. Let them tell you no. Let them just blatantly disregard what you say, and you will pay for it. You are responsible to enforce what? Whatever, what some of these doctors say, some of these books that people read nowadays, you better get in the Word and see what the Word says. Bible says that a child that is left to his own will embarrass, will shame the mother and the father. You have to give an account for what they are. You are accountable to God for your children. They will get their chance when they start, when they're accountable. But you better get them there. You better get them to the right place because God's going to hold you for that. You know, you better, yeah, if you want to get them involved in sports and all that kind of stuff, but they better be involved in things of the church. Come on. Come on. They better realize church is the most important thing. Living for God is the most important thing in your life. We're going to be faithful. I promise you, your pastor's standing here today because my father was faithful. When you look in Ephesians 4, right after it says, let him that stole steal no more. Let's look at what that says there. In Ephesians 4, 28, 29. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. Listen to me today. Watch your tongue and your words. You and I are accountable for what we say. Matthew 12, 3 through 35 through 37. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak. Listen to what the scripture is saying here. Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be what? By the words you speak, you shall be justified. And by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Now, folks, you say, that's pretty powerful. But I want you to understand what God looks at when he sees the spoken word. Here's how God looks at it. God spoke everything into existence. Let there be light. Boom. Let there be flowers. Let there be trees. Let there be fish. He spoke it. So God understands the power of speaking. And when you speak negative, you're speaking things into existence. So what he's saying here, look, if you speak positive things, then positive things can start happening in your life. But if you're going to just speak negative things, then what's going to be around you? Negative. And that is an influence. Understand it. It is an influence in your life, and that's why you're going to give an account. Because if you speak negative and you're around negative, you're going to be negative. But if you speak positive things, God is good. God is great. I believe in Him. I trust in God. You know, and all those kind of things, folks. You speak to people positive. People want to know what you have. Hey, what do you got? Talk to me about God. That's how you get a message that says, hey, I'm searching for truth. Because you are speaking things. Because you're going to give an account for it, folks. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. We will answer to God for our unemployed words. That's scary. Not just saying, I don't know. Like kids do. Who did this? I don't know. Sound like Scooby-Doo, don't they? I don't know. Carl, is that how it goes? Huh? We're going to pay for our words. 1 Peter 4, 1 through 7. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourself also with the same attitude, because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. As a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil, human desires, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They think it strange that you do not plunge with them into the same flood of dispensation, and they heap abuse on you. See, people in the world, they don't understand why you don't get a part of all this junk they're doing. And so they heap abuse on you. They make fun of you. But listen to this. But they will have to give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is the reason the gospel was preached even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to men in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the spirit. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Now listen to what this is saying. It's hard to pray when you're speaking negative. But when you speak positive and you talk about what a great life you have. Hear me what I'm saying, folks. If all you can do is speak negative, it's going to be hard for you to live for God. See, you walk through the door of Acts 2:38. Don't just stand there. Okay, I'm through the door now. Now, how do I have to live? And you start looking through the scriptures. Oh, I need to get rid of this. Oh, I don't like that. God doesn't want me to do this. Oh, God wants me to do this. See, you want to be able to pray. Start speaking positive. Well, all this stuff happens. Well, keep speaking positive. Get out of that debunkery. Get out of that debauchery. We will give an account. Account means a narrative of record of events. God's got it written down, folks. He has, this is how you lived. This is how, you constantly spoke negative. You constantly were mean. You constantly were abusive. Oh, you were, man, you always had uplifting things to say. You were always positive. Revelations 20, 11 through 15, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Let's stand here today. Let me ask you this question. Are you ready for Judgment Day? Are you ready for Judgment Day? Folks, God has things written down. God has things recorded. Does that concern you? Should we be concerned? Are you ready for Judgment Day? You see, if you take care of it here, the Bible says every knee shall bow. Why not do it now? Are you ready for Judgment Day? This altar's open. Do we need to come up here today and say, God, I want to get some things taken care of right now. I know you got this written down. I know, God, that you've I've done this. And I know you know I know it. God, I know. You know. And you know I know. And I'm taking care of it right now. Come on. Are you ready for Judgment Day?